Welcome to another edition of the Business and Life Channel by Peter Daniels. Here, every week, we explore business and life through interviews, stories, and shared information. You'll meet some amazing people and gain valuable understanding of not only what people have achieved in business and life, but their thinking behind their achievements, their motivations, their struggles, and victories. You'll pick up on the lessons they've learned, the things they did on their business and life journey that worked, why they did it, and maybe even some things they wouldn't do again. So let's join Peter for this week's episode. We trust that you enjoy it.
Well, today I'm with Michael McGrath and with Emily Purdy, and Michael and Emily own a business called Top Performance Fitness, and I thought it'd be a really good idea just to have a chat with them, because sometimes seasonally, sometimes age-wise, we sort of go, I'm not getting the energy I need, and I'm not as strong as I need to be, and I'm running a business, and gee whiz, it's getting more difficult. So I thought we'd have a chat with them. So welcome, Michael and Emily. How are you guys going?
Good, thank you, Peter.
Yeah, great, thanks, Peter.
Good on you. Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate that. We might start with you, Michael, firstly. How old is the business, Top Performance Fitness?
The actual business would be about 5-6 years old.
Yeah.
I started off on my own as a small class studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2.5 years in, I needed to move premise and thought I'd need a bigger space, and reached out to Emily to see if she would like to team up and, I suppose, make a bigger space and expand the business.
That's really good. I'm really pleased about that you've got both a man and a woman involved, because there will be different elements of fitness and strength that's required by both, and us blokes can't understand it all the time, can we, Michael?
No, not sometimes.
No. So, Emily, you're involved in the business, and I dare say there are some significant different strength, fitness, and goals that women have compared to men. I'm presuming the men want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, have a bit of a swagger, but the women probably have a different idea.
That's right, Peter. We have a lot of women coming to us with, I suppose, the body recomposition goals, energy as well. A lot of women come to us, mums and things, coming to us with, I suppose, lacking energy, aren't sure kind of how to continue to progress. So we definitely are able to help them along their journey, which is great.
Mm. Can I pause there for a minute for both of you? Because I think that's really important, that whole thing of energy. And as you know, I've got a fair bit of energy, but some people don't have, and it's not necessarily their fault, but we require energy for business and for life, and there would be times when both men and women find it very, very difficult to have the energy they've got to achieve the goals that are before them, whether that's in business and life. And I see that from my perspective in coaching people, and I dare say you see that from your perspective in coaching people to get more energy.
Yeah, that's right. We definitely do, Peter.
Yep. So tell me about some of the things that you do for the men, Michael. What are the men mostly after?
Look, I suppose men come in to the gym. A lot of them are being, I suppose, if they're younger, they're looking at, I suppose, improving strength and fitness for generally sport-related, activities. Mm-hmm. And then you're older, like middle-aged men, will generally come in for, I suppose, overall fitness and some body recomposition. So, you know, some weight loss, and that's the main thing. Again, some men do lack energy. They are out, well, tradespeople are outside all day working hard, and then they do find it hard to put time aside for themselves to, I suppose, work on themselves sometimes. So we get those type of people coming in also.
Mm.
But yes.
Okay. And I think too, maybe there's people who have injuries or particular situations. I know, without going into details, you and I were talking about someone recently who had an issue, and you can plan for a person even if an injury.
Absolutely. We work alongside with Allied Health, so physios, doctors, chiros, to work with the client to make their life, I suppose, as best we can. improve in the gym and outside the gym. So yeah, we do suppose, talk to those people along the way and set up a bit of a plan along those lines, what they can work on, and then trying to progress them over time as well, not be stagnant with their training and where they are in life, I suppose.
I suppose too, I've had a couple of injuries in my life, and one of the things from my perspective that I've been hesitant about has been, well, gee whiz, I don't really want to go talk to someone who's going to get me trying to climb 10,000 stairs and, you know, become aerobically Superman in an afternoon. And I think having a plan, and we'll talk about that a bit later, having a plan that suits the individual rather than a one-size-fits-all is what I really like about what you and Emily do. Can we have a chat about that plan and what your process is, Michael, and then we'll come back to you, Emily?
Yeah, sure thing. So I suppose when a client comes in, we'll sit down with them and nut out, I suppose, where they're at the current time, anything that's holding them back, work out what goal they're trying to get to, and then, I suppose, put all that down on paper, and then we, I suppose, work out a plan that's going to fit into their life as best we can. We take into consideration how much time they can put towards their goal, I suppose, limitations of moving, family, I suppose, where they live, all sorts like that. Mm. And then we really put a plan in place and then start to execute that as promptly as we can. And we also like monitor, I suppose, their progress along the way. So we track all their data and adapt as we need to.
Yeah, well, as a business and life coach, and that's what I do in my sphere is, you know, check in with people, see how they're going, not just with the progress, but how they're going mentally, attitude-wise. You know, do they have any barriers? Do they have any issues? You know, those sort of things. And I think that's incredibly valuable because a lot of people sort of start out on this and go, well, gee, maybe they stepped on the scales and went, gee, that's a new number. I haven't seen that number before and I'm going to do something about it. And off they go. Sometimes people bite off too much short term and too little long and end up having another injury and going, gee, I knew it wouldn't work.
Mm. Yeah, that can be the case sometimes, yeah.
Mm. Can I have a chat with you, Emily? Because being a mum, you've sort of been through that situation of being a fit young lady, woman, and having a child and then going, well, hang on, I can experience this lack of energy and the demands of motherhood, but gone through a process yourself to increase your energy level, get back into shape, feel good about yourself again. And I'd like you to talk about results you see with women who go down that track and who go through your gym and the benefits they get out of that.
Yeah, certainly. Well, my experience firsthand is, I suppose, just a good example for other women who have been obviously in my position, which are there are obviously many, 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 many women who decide to have a family and getting back into the gym or getting back into fitness and feeling more themselves can certainly be a really big challenge. I think the first step to women getting back their fitness or feeling a bit more themselves is just setting aside a little bit of time each week, whether it's, you know, 2 hours a week, 2 sessions a week to start with, just to get themselves moving and start to build a little bit of momentum. Setting the bar too high and potentially being where you used to be. For example, I used to train 5 days a week, and when I returned back to my own training postpartum, I set the bar very low. My expectations of myself were very, very low so that I didn't disappoint myself. And I think that's something that women really struggle with. They set the expectation too high of themselves and they think that they need to do everything, like that have really have that all or nothing mindset, which but I think women just need to be a little bit kinder to themselves getting back into their fitness journey. I think they need to set a plan in place that they know that they can manage, even if it is less than what they'd ideally like to do. I think that's really important. Over the last 12 months, so my little one's nearly one now, and I've built from 2 sessions a week back up to 4 sessions a week as can tolerate. But I think yeah, like I said, people just, or women especially, need to be a little bit kinder to themselves, getting back into their fitness journey.
Yep.
And obviously having a professional to help them set kind of those expectations in place and a plan that they're going to be able to execute, because their time is different, their lifestyle is different, everything in their life has changed. So it does definitely make it a lot more challenging for women getting back into fitness.
Yep. And they have a little one to look after too. You know, this,
that's exactly right. Yeah.
And if it's the first one, this is all new. Like, you know, and if we're not careful, I would imagine it'd be very easy to go, well, gee, is this too hard? I'm just going to roll over. And this is so.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, isn't it? A lot of people, they, like I said, their life changes so much, and they set that expectation a little bit too high of themselves. And if they do that and try and execute that, it does go into the too hard basket. And that's where a lot of women, I suppose, do fall off the bandwagon. Whereas that kind of something is better than nothing mindset is going to get them a lot further. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the old story of doing smaller steps but more regular rather than a big step and fall flat.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Let's have a chat about some of the things you both see, because in working with both men and women, athletes, business people, corporate executives, a whole lot, you'd see some amazing results, I reckon. And it's not just physical result. I reckon it impacts people's mindset on what they believe they can achieve. They're, obviously, the endorphins going through their system's going to kind of give them a better mindset, and with so much
talk So we definitely see some big transformations. But obviously, we see some physical transformations, but we do see some huge mental transformations from clients as well.
Mm.
For example, we have a lot of women who come in with that mindset of, "I need to train all the time, every day. I need to do lots of cardio. I need to eat like a rabbit." You know.
Yep.
Starve themselves to achieve their results. And after a few months of coaching, they'll be fueling their bodies, they'll be fueling their training, they'll have a lot more energy.
Yep.
And their entire mindset around, first of all, like exercise and nutrition shifts, because they've got so much more mental energy, physical energy. They feel better in themselves. They've got more confidence.
Mm.
It's ongoing, and it really does have a flow-on effect from training through to lifestyle to home as well, you know, being able to be more present with the kids, with your partner, everything. So there are so many kind of underrated benefits of exercise that a lot of people don't really think about.
Yeah.
And I've also seen, along with what Emily just said, like I suppose that flow-on effect, it flows on to like partners and kids. A lot of our clientele, you know, seeing great results, not just in the gym, but at home, and then refer their partner, or their partner starts to see that in within them. And then they, you know, they reach out and start attending the gym. We've got a family that comes in with their kids, you know, to train. It does have that big flow-on effect and helps everyone out.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I see that too, is that it's not just, as you've said, Emily, eating like a rabbit or pushing yourself to the nth degree physically. It's that balance of nutrition, time, commitment, follow through, and you end up in a better spot. Can we have a chat about the benefits of a plan? Because I think there's a lot of people who go, gee whiz, I need to do something, and off they go to a 24/7 gym, and there's nothing wrong with those, but they do a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of something else, and they don't have the knowledge of what works and what doesn't work and what would work better. And so you guys have studied and know that, and so you can put that into a plan no matter what they want to achieve, whether that's strength or endurance or energy or changing their weight numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think the importance of a plan, I guess the first thing is, if you have a goal, for example, and you don't know how to get there, just doing some random exercise and eating some random food or quantity of food, how is that going to guarantee you get to your golf.
Yeah.
It's not, is it?
No,
it's not. I think it's important for people to realize that to achieve a goal, they need to have a plan in place, I suppose.
A plan too, rather than their own plan. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Because obviously as fitness professionals, we determine what their goal is.
Yes.
But we know how to program the appropriate exercises, what's going to be beneficial for them where they currently are at in life and their abilities. And we can determine the baseline measurements and whatnot so that we can measure their progress.
Yes.
Because if we aren't able to measure progress, we're flying blind essentially, aren't we?
We're not able to
get to the goal.
Mm.
So having a plan in place, put steps in place, which we can then monitor and adapt if we need to ensure that those steps towards the goal are achieved. And obviously having those little benchmarks along the way, like short-term goals, to achieve the long-term goal is super important, again, as a measure of progress.
Yeah. And it keeps you motivated too, doesn't it? Yeah, when you see
either
the weight dropping or feeling better about yourself or feeling physically stronger.
Yeah, that's right. Because you've got those variables that you are looking at on a weekly, monthly basis. Mm. So you're able to see whether you're on the right trajectory or not. And if not, what's going wrong or what's not happening, what's holding you back to be able to achieve it. So it really does make a big difference having a professional who's able to look at that data, interpret that data to ensure that you are able to achieve that goal.
Yeah. I think your industry, along with my industry, the water's been muddied a little bit by people coming in with different models. And if I may say so, your industry's had different models of work where people can go in and do their own thing by themselves any hour of the day or night, and that's got its benefits. And I know you offer an aspect of that as well, so I don't want to throw stones at it. But without a base plan, they could be doing more damage than good, couldn't they?
To an extent, yeah. I suppose more so if they don't quite know how to achieve the goal that they've set out to achieve, they're more likely just to be spinning their wheels and staying stagnant in that same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they may not necessarily do more damage, but they're not likely to get ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's have a chat too about a couple of the different aspects that you bring to play and the importance of them, because I think in my life's journey there was an absolutely huge emphasis on aerobic activity back in the 70s and 80s, and the importance of that for your lungs, longevity, heart, all that sort of thing. But even as recent as this last month, the National Geographic's come out and said, again, that weight-bearing exercise is really useful for older people. Can we talk about that and what the benefits of that are?
Yeah, so resistance training is definitely a benefit for the elderly people. One, it increases bone density, and obviously over time, if again, done correctly and with the correct form, can increase muscle mass, which helps out as you get older. One, it's going to reduce risks of falls and independence as I suppose your age. So I wouldn't knock doing any cardio exercise, but that comes down to, again, what goal you have and what you want to achieve. As you get older, it's not like you're going to go running down the beach or, wanting to do those type of things or sometimes able to do those things. So, to still live a healthy life and have that independence, that weight-bearing training is definitely going to assist with those. And it still does increase heart rate and whatnot anyway. So it's still there to, improve blood flow, all that sort of jazz as well.
Mm. I've observed a couple of people who went full bore without any guidance on the aerobic aspect, and I think all of us have heard of someone who's dropped dead doing that, because they've done too much too quickly without the adequate involvement of other professionals around them. Let's just tidy this up with a couple of other things, because I'm interested in this. I'm probably in that older age group. I'm heading into that now, and I have observed that there's a lot of people as they get older, they can't even appropriately walk, because the muscle, the tendons, whatever it is, I'm not a professional, in the back of their legs are not able to allow them to walk because they haven't done some stretching and things like that. Can you talk into that? Because I think that being mobile in your old age is really important, because it enables you to do a whole lot of other things that other people can't do. So can you maybe talk into that for a minute, Michael?
Yeah, sure thing. So I suppose when we look at mobility, and I suppose people put that into specifically stretching, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, if you are flexible, doesn't mean you're mobile per se. Mm-hmm. Look, mobility can come down to moving through the full range of a movement pattern. So if you're, I suppose, aging and you are struggling to get off the ground, we would look at trying to, over time, increase our squat pattern so we can get deeper into a squat, have strength in our legs to then get off the ground. And I think that's the main thing elderly people sort of look at when it comes to mobility, is being able to get off the ground if they are on the ground playing with grandkids, or they do fall over. It's about having that strength to get up off the ground. And mobility, that comes along with just moving the muscles through the full range of the movement pattern. So, if we are getting stuck in a movement pattern, it is stretching helps out with that. But again, it practice and I suppose just taking it through that range over time will help us get that mobility back.
Yeah. Can I chime in, Peter?
Yeah, please.
I suppose another element of, I suppose, tight muscles and lack of mobility, a good way to think about it is like a cast. So if you break a bone, a doctor will cast your arm, for example, so that it can repair itself.
Yep.
Whereas when you hurt a muscle, you can't put it in a cast, can you?
No, you can't.
So, for example, if you've got a strained muscle or a tight muscle, that's kind of the body's way of putting a cast on.
Mm.
So it's almost protecting itself, generally speaking, because it's not overly strong, or the body thinks that there's a risk of injury there.
Yeah, right.
So to improve mobility, often strengthening is the best thing people can do.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a lot of people think, oh no, I'm a bit tight, I shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, it's going to be of more benefit than stretching alone.
Yeah, right. Okay. And that's the intel that professionals have in your line of work, is to understand fully all of that sort of information. And I would encourage any of my clients listening to this, or any of your clients listening to this, who have a goal that they want to achieve, get serious. Yeah, it's going to cost you a few bucks, but it's going to probably cost you more in time and money if you don't do it properly and have two or three goes at it. Have a chat with Michael or Emily and get a plan together with them. They'll sit down and work that out for you, so that whatever your objective is, you can move confidently forward and see some real progress. So Michael and Emily, you've been clients of mine now for, I'm trying to think of it, 8 or 9 months, something like that. And I know we've sat down and developed some goals. And what's been the benefit of the Lead Australia process for you as far as tightening up your business and moving more positively ahead?
Yeah, so I reckon the best thing that's come out of it is the accountability. So touching base, and again, having a plan in place.
Yep.
You know, we I suppose as exercise professionals do that with our clients, but sometimes neglect it on our end from a business point of view.
Yep.
And that's where, you step in and help out with that accountability.
Yep.
And we've tightened up some processes along the way.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and we've also enjoyed going through some of the events that you've held over the year, some of the breakfasts and the major events.
Yep.
We've made some connections and taken away some valuable information.
Good.
And also, we have picked up a couple of clients through the process as well. So
yeah, well, that's been really well. That's important. Yeah, and I think of what we did in streamlining your presentation process so that you could onboard more clients and looking at the mix of the clients that you had. And, it's been an enjoyable journey thus far. And we haven't finished yet. So I'm looking forward to working with you a little bit further on that. So, thank you for that.
So are we. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you guys for your time today. I really appreciate it. And again, I love the work you do, and I really appreciate the clients that I've sent to you, and they're enjoying the fruits and benefits of your skills. So thank you, guys. We'll chat again soon, all right?
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Business and Life Channel. For further information, extra learning, and assistance with your business or life's journey and aspirations, Peter can be contacted at leadaustralia.com.au. That's LEAD Australia, one word, .com.au. He'd be very happy to help. The information in this podcast can be downloaded for your personal use, but it cannot be reproduced in any form without the written consent of Lead Australia.